This podcast is sponsored by Ramp.
I can't sleep.
What is it now?
It's the company. It's chaos.
What's chaos now?
The numbers, the expenses, the books. What if we get audited?
No one's going to audit you at 3 a.m. Go to sleep.
I can't sleep.
You could if you used Ramp.
Who said that?
I don't care because they're right. Go to sleep and sign up for Ramp in the morning, Jerry.
Ramp is the corporate card that handles all your tedious financial operations automatically, integrates directly with your ERP, and gives you complete control over every transaction. Ramp gives you everything you need for bulletproof books and a better night's sleep.
Wow, that is exactly what my company needs.
Yes, and exactly what I also need. Go to sleep, Jerry.
Upgrade to Ramp for free today and get $250 at ramp.com. That's ramp.com, R-A-M-P.com.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello, No Bad Dog Army. You will love this one. It's resource guarding, and it's an interesting one because it's every single thing except the dog actually becoming dangerous. It's every single thing except the dog actually biting. We are snarling, we are showing teeth, and the owners are actually doing all the wrong things. So we're going to start. How do you start to dismantle this? How do you make the house safer? How do you make things more predictable? And what kind of training do you do? That's what this whole podcast is about. I know that you will enjoy it, and I know that you'll find value in it. I'm going to be doing seminars in Australia, New Zealand, and England, and Seattle, and Ontario very, very soon. So if you guys want to come see me live and hang out with me, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. I'd love the opportunity to hear your dog training stories, and I'd love the opportunity to, of course, meet your dog and work with your dog and help you with your dog. All the ticket and information is listed in the link below. Thank you guys so much for listening. Number one dog training podcast. We'll talk to you next time. All right, cool. We got you set up here. What's going on? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So we have 11, 12-month-old, no, 14-month-old golden retriever puppy. So I want to say about month five or six, she started doing a little resource guarding with new bones and stuff.
Hold on, stop for a second. I was just going to tell you, is your dog resource guarding? Because you are the fifth person that we've talked to. We had a meeting. This is relevant. So I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have to just say this.
No, you're fine.
We had a meeting yesterday with my staff, and okay, we have had 4 to 5 golden retriever puppies specifically from ages. We just sent home a 6-month-old that had severe resource guarding. Right before you started saying we have this golden retriever, I was going to stop you and say, do they have resource guarding issues? And then that came out of your mouth, and now my mind is blown. I don't know what's going on, but please continue. Yeah. So how old is your golden?
She 14 months at the end of this month.
Okay, she's so a little over a year. Okay.
Yeah. So like she resource guarded with new bones when she was a puppy, like not her food. The one time she did with her food because she was like in a bat, like she wasn't like in a mood because she just started resource guarding. So with her food, like I can go bring her water, go next to her, not an issue. For me, it's not as bad as my girlfriend with new things and that, mostly bones. She did do it once with a ball with my girlfriend's mom's golden retriever. They kind of got into a fight because she went near her ball, but that's the only time they've ever, but it's like, she was like then fine with her. And then there was an incident, I want to say in the fall with my girlfriend's aunt, our dog brought the bone over to her aunt and then started getting weird. So we took the bone off of her. Well, my girlfriend did, I wasn't home. And then she went up and was petting her. And then kind of like, she doesn't really bite. She just starts barking and rawr, and then like puts her mouth on you. Because the second incident that happened was my girlfriend went to give her a piece of cheese. She dropped it. I guess she wanted the cheese so bad, she like started doing that at us. My girlfriend ran away. I kind of just stood there to see what she would have done. And she put her mouth around my arm, but she didn't like bite. Then I want to say about 2 weeks ago, we were at my grandmother's house. She was fine. She kept going back for pets to my grandmother, and then she was sitting there, and we don't know if it was the bowl of something behind her that she thought it was hers.
Mm-hmm.
She like did the same thing to my grandmother. We took her home. She didn't bite or anything. Like I said, like she's never bitten down to where she dropped blood. And then 2 days after that happened, me, my girlfriend, and her were sitting on the couch. She was getting a little weird with my girlfriend, like lunging, but not doing anything. Like, so I was holding her and petting her, and like she was fine. And then she put her head on my girlfriend's lap on the pillow, and she was petting her. And then she went to pull her hand away, and then she did that. She's like, and when my girlfriend pulled her hand away, it scratched her whole hand. She didn't like bite down. What?
I'm Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
She's saying my girlfriend.
Well, I was gonna. Name. It's okay. I was gonna ask your name. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So she like did it then, and then after that, that's why we got started with the consultation with you. We do have an appointment with the vet tomorrow to see if like, I don't know, like she has anxiety, but not like severe anxiety. She just hates mm-hmm. loud noises. Like I could take her places. She gets iffy when there's a lot of people around at first. Like I'm an athletic trainer for a football team at college, so like I've taken her to practices and stuff, and with loud music and a lot of people, she's like but then she'll go and like warm up. So like I did try to socialize her, bring her places, so she's not just like doesn't see the world. So she'll have a bit anxiety, so that's kind of why we called set up this and all that.
Okay, so Rachel, do you when this happened recently, when you pulled your hand away, what's the dog's name?
Ellie.
So when you pulled your hand away from Ellie, is she just grabbing you, or do you feel like...
So she's never like, so she's, to me, it's like she's going to bite. Like she's scrunching up her nose and it is aggressive. She's never like actually like latched on. Like it's always like a nip almost. It's not like a bite, but it is still like she is making the face and like going for it.
Okay. Here's what we got to do. So again, this month, I don't know, this last 2 months have been so weird. There's something going on in the water or something, but we just had a meeting about this. I don't know what's going on with these Goldens, but so here's what we can do. You have the best case of resource guarding you could possibly have. So there's that. I'll just say that. Meaning if your dog is going to have resource guarding, you guys have the best. We're not hurting people. We're not actually biting. We're not clamping down. We're not puncturing. We're not sending people to the hospital, et cetera. So your dog does have a form of resource guarding. And so my suggestion is this. Resource guarding, I could go over, it could be genetic, it could be lack of temperamental development in the beginning stages, you know, leaving the dog alone to eat by themselves, never handling, never hand feeding, never touching while they're eating. Some dogs get it, some dogs don't. Some dogs live on the streets and have to fight for their food to survive and they never get it. And, you know, it just, in my opinion, there hasn't been a ton of consistent reasons why dogs can get it. But there are definitely some things that can develop these things. But it's never always this. It's never that. You know what I mean? Like if a dog has been hand fed, it doesn't mean they're never going to have resource guarding. If a dog has not been handled when they were a puppy, it doesn't mean that they're going to develop resource guarding. It's just we try to do as much as we can to put them into the right direction. And that's what I do with all my puppies is when they're eating, I touch them. Even today with Burley, my Mastiff, I'm checking his pads. I'm touching him while he's eating. I really want to make sure they're comfortable with that within a respectful reason. So,
with me, she is a lot better than she is with Rachel. I will say that, like, I can do a lot more than Rachel could. And I don't know if that's because, so when we got her as a puppy, I was home for like 2.5 months straight, almost every day. Now, granted, she had her time. and all that. She is attached to me very much, and I do work with her probably the most. So I will say, like, I do try to, like, be around her when she does that. Now, sometimes she just grabs her bone and walks away, and I'm just like, all right, it is what it is, and or I can pet her. So I will say that she is, it's easier for me than it is with Rachel.
Yeah.
So she's definitely, like, protective of him. Like, if I come into the living room and they're already, like, on the couch, she'll, like, stare me down.
Yeah.
And, like, stuff like that. So she is very protective of him.
She's nervous about the stare as well, because I have heard from, if a dog just gets a blank stare and starts licking their lips, it means they're... But, like, I've also noticed sometimes she just does that.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, good. So... From here, what we have to start doing is, because it's not full-blown panic mode, which is what I usually deal with, is putting out a blazing fire. You guys are just, smoke signals are going up. So start eliminating the risks of resource guarding. And I'm going to tell you these things, and you guys can decide what you want to do. It's solely up to you, right? So it would be bones go away, so that's easiest. Because you got to look at the risk over reward here. The reward is the dog gets something that she likes, she may love, she chews on it. It's good for their teeth, maybe not, depending on which bones you have. The risk is resource guarding. So you can decide that. There's ways to give your dog bones with the reduction of resource guarding, which means bones that they can actually consume. So, like, I give my dogs, for an example, like, they're not marrow bones because they can't consume that, but it would be like, they call them soft bones. They're like the femur and the hips of a cow, and they can actually break those down. But I'm just saying, I tend to get away from things that dogs can possess around the house because it's just not necessary. It's silly.
That lasts longer than just like, okay, like she's going to eat it. But she's going to have it around. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because you're basically like, here, resource guarding dog, here's another thing to resource guard. And it's like, why are we doing this? Like, it's not like food or the water bowl where it's necessity. This is just an added thing to say, hey, you know, our dog, she's really great, but when we give her a bone, she can be pretty aggressive. It's like, okay, can we just not give her bones? Yes. Okay, well, then that may go away forever. The other things, to your point, Rachel, of the couch and stuff, if you can minimalize and or take away the couch stuff, I would. Because what ends up happening is, especially with dogs, like Brandon's relationship with Ellie is different, as you know, Rachel, and as you know, Brandon, as you stated, like because you've spent more time with her, you probably do majority of the training, whatever. And so the relationship is different for that reason. And once you put in this kind of competing factor, like this wedge of competition, if you will, which it's tough for me to say because I don't even know, but even if I was standing there, it'd be tough to say, oh, is she jealous? Is she protective? Is she fighting for attention? Whatever, who knows? But the more leverage we give the dog, the worse off the human is going to be. So let's say Rachel walks into the room, Ellie gives Rachel the eyes because Ellie's laying on Brandon's lap. That's for you as a dog owner, you need to pretty much say, hey, get off my lap. You go lay down in your bed. You're not going to look at anybody like that. Same thing with your grandma. Like,
yeah,
all bets are off when those things happen. So again, minimalizing the risks of these things happening, right? So think about literally anything in your life, like you with injuries or whatever. Like you're thinking of, man, let's just go out to the field and start running around without stretching. It's probably going to cause more injuries than if we just stretched, right? So same thing. Hey, we are going to not let the dog on the couch because that can create more tension. That can create more problems. We are going to not give the dog things that she can possess. So bones, Kongs, even whatever the dog possesses, toys, whatever. Those are the two, that's a huge thing. So again, hey Tom, these things are happening. Is it the only things wrong with my dog? Like, okay, can you just turn that valve off? Like, can you just stop?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So I think my question for that is, like, obviously one is the couch and you said take away the couch, right? So how do you go about doing that? Because she's used to just being on the couch as much as possible? Or is it something that I've been working a lot more? So I did get your No Bad Dogs 280C.
Yep.
Training collar, like, is that something that it could work into, like, a command of leave it in place to a point?
Okay. Yeah. So good question. It's yes. If you have the skill sets and the obedience, then everything in life is really discretionary, as it is with kids. Run around, but not here. Yell, but not here. Eat this, but not now, right? So there's always this yes and no. So to your point, let's say Ellie's on the couch with you, Brandon, and Rachel comes home. Ellie, go to your bed. Mm-hmm. Go to your place. So it just strips away. So do you have to completely quit the couch forever? No, but the problem is, see, this is a question that we get all the time. As there's, like, I don't want to say it's a myth because there is some validity to it, but when dog owners say, should I let my dog on the couch or not? It's really discretionary. Like, if you have the, here's where you come into problems is once you give the dog the same playing field as humans, the dog feels like it could be appropriate for them to compete for space, compete for affection, compete for attention because they're at the same playing field, right? And dogs, so if my dog wanted to get on the couch with me, I really wouldn't care at all. Because I can say off and the dog would get off immediately and they don't really get on the couch. It's never been a thing for them. They don't even try to get on the couch. I don't want the dog. I got babies and when people come over and it's so the couch is one of those things that it's totally okay to do as long as you can tell the dog to get off. But, and that's why you hear that all the time. It's like, you should never let your dog in the furniture. Well, that's because so many people get into this hierarchy type of challenge, right? Rachel comes in, Ellie's got her head on Brandon's lap, and Rachel's going to come. So we talk about resource guarding. It's guarding a resource they find very valuable, okay? So that's food, that's bones, that's whatever. I mean, I've heard a lot of crazy shit that dogs find value. But in your case, it could be affection and attention. Rachel, you come in the room from work, whatever. Ellie's like, oh man, you're going to take my spot. Boom. So that creates this, like, you're going to make me move. So then now, Brandon, you're creating tension between Ellie and Rachel because dogs are extremely conditioned animals, as you know. You open a chip bag, boom, they're sitting there. You get your leash, you get your keys, boom, they're like, we're going. So when Rachel walks into the room and Brandon, you push Ellie out of the way, you're setting Ellie and Rachel up to be kind of competitors right there. And you shouldn't put yourself into that situation. Your dog should just be just part of the group, right? Part of the pack, and there's boundaries that we all have with our dogs and even with humans. It's like what's appropriate and what's not appropriate, right? So once that line is not drawn, then it becomes blurry, right? And so that's probably what's happening is when Rachel comes into the mix and you're on the couch, that means Ellie's going to go away and that creates tension. Mm-hmm. If that's like a conditioned thing, right? You're like, hey, can you move? And then we're pushing her away. We're pushing her off. And then she's like, screw Rachel. And it's like, well, so that's kind of like you're setting people up there for that, for both of them. And then, so you don't have to completely eliminate it, but you have to make sure that you have the skill set to say, go to your bed, go to your place. And then the dog goes zoop. And sometimes they'll resist. That's part of life. Nobody's perfect. Nobody has the perfect dog. Nobody has the perfect training. So even for Burley, like he knows at the end of the night, you know, if it's crate time, he might go, I just want to put on my brakes and not go into the crate, right? So then sometimes I'll have to grab his collar and sit there and come on, let's go. And he goes in. But anyway, I would just say like those are all things that I would do. The other thing that I would recommend, because of the severity or the lack thereof of the resource guarding, which means you're not getting bites, you're not getting redirection, working on the alternative, which is the out or leave it and the recall and correcting the growling and the snarling. But again, like Rachel, when you put yourself into a situation where you know, she's on your lap and she has something, like, that's just not good. Like a bone or something. Like,
well, so like if he's not home, sometimes, like, I mean, usually, like, she could have a bone or a toy or something, and she'll come and sit with me on the couch and, like, eat it next to me. Like, I don't go to touch her or anything because she gets weird. But, like, she can sit next to me and have it, and it's fine. More recently, like, we have, like, an ottoman in, like, where her crate is in the one room. And, like, she'll sit up on there, and then I'm feeling like she's giving me the look of, like, don't come near me.
Hey.
Yeah.
Don't come near me, like... She wants a ball. So like, then I'm kind of just like, all right, whatever. Like, I just walk away. Cause I don't. But,
yeah, again, I would just, why are we, to me, it's like, why just take away those things, right? It just causes more stress than it causes good. So I always outweigh those risk over reward thing. Like, giving her these things, the risk is this and the reward is this. And usually they don't ever, you know, make sense, right? You know, it'd be different if it was like, oh, well, we have to give our dog a vaccine. Stress, anxiety, fear, sometimes aggression. And it's like, well, that's a risk. The risk is higher than the reward there, right? We have to do that. So anyway, so I personally, like I said, it's just one of those things that you can say, okay, well, we're going to take these things away so this never happens again. And there's a good chance, considering what you've told me, the only time she's been kind of funky is around those items. And if you take them away completely, you may never see it again. So here's the other thing that I was getting into is having a really good leave it or out is huge. So
what do you mean? I'm sorry. What do you mean by out?
When she when she has something in her mouth and you say out, she drops it.
Okay, so out as a drop command.
Yeah.
Okay, and then do you use off as the same as a leave it command? Because I was told, so our last trainer kind of was against the leave it command because she made it seem like the dogs would think that they can never have it. But I've seen most of your videos where the leave it command is just so they leave it, and then if you release them, they can have.
Yeah, it's a good thing to bring up. So every dog trainer has different verbiage and different terms. You know, like if when I go to the UK, they call what is it? Arugula rocket, right? So every different culture and different trainer will have different rules and words. So like if I say place to Lakota, my other dog, she comes between my legs. If I say place to Burley, he goes on his bed. They're different words for different things. So it's a good point. When some people will say that the leave it is you can't ever have it. But for me, the leave it is, I'm a pet dog trainer, right? So I work with pet dog owners, and I realize that we're going to say leave it about a bunch of things, right? And it's for the most time, actually, leave it is don't go there, you can't ever have this. But sometimes it's not either. Like if I'm out and I'm doing something with my dog and they're like, ooh, look at this grass, and I say leave it, does that mean my dog can't ever smell the grass? That my dog can't ever put their head in the grass? No. That just means, hey, stop what you're doing, disengage, let's move on. But if I say, the leave it is kind of, again, like my valve to turn all the way off or all the way on. You can have it or you can't. And that's really discretionary on your control. So there's nothing wrong with either of those applications of saying leave it means you can't ever have it. But for me, leave it is kind of a disengagement command. And sometimes it's for... like, you know, if my dogs are playing and I want them to like disperse because the kids are around, I'll just say leave it. And that just means whatever you're doing, stop. Right. Okay. So I apply the leave it for that. Some people will be very granular with the leave it. And it's like, okay, leave it is they can't ever have it. Don't is they can't have it. That's what I mean. That's exactly why I don't do that shit is because it just. Overcomplicates things.
It made it more confusing for me. 100%. Because when I was trying to train her, I kept saying leave it, and then she's like, well, maybe use off, and I'm like, but when I don't want her to go near things or to like leave it, why would I say off? It was like very confusing. So like I kind of went back to leave it as if I leave it, and then if I say release, then she is free to do what she wants.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of, and then off I kind of started. I haven't really done it, but I mean, kind of going off your point, like off would be like get off the couch or off a human. Mm-hmm. Like, is that how you would use that if I was there?
Yeah, yeah. It's and again, like your words are what they mean to the dog. So you could say lobster, tomato, and crayon, and that's what the sit down and stay is. So, yeah. but you just be consistent with it. So whatever you teach your dog is what it is. And a lot of times, again, especially with dogs, is and I go over this a lot in my seminars because they're filled with dog trainers, and I tell people, like, look, I'm a pet. Like, I am you guys. Like, I am your trainer. Like, I'm not trying to compete. I'm not talking to very precise behavioral dog training that are, you know, competing at the Olympics. I'm working with everyday dog owners who are struggling, and they're confused by all the mumbo jumbo, and I keep it, yeah. So anyway, so when you guys are doing your words, it's what makes the most sense for you and that you're going to remember and that you feel comfortable with. But the leave it for me again is to just say disengage. The out command for me typically is something different. That means what's in your mouth you have to let go of. So it's once the dog already has it in their mouth, it's more of an out. Because let's say, here's why. Let's say I'm playing with one of my dogs. If I say leave it, that may like make them a little gun shy to play with me again, because they're like, oh, I'm not supposed to have this, but I thought that I should. That may be a little conflicting. So I like to teach like drop or out in the context of whatever you have in your mouth. So typically I will teach the drop and out with a toy. So I'll play with a stuffy or a tug toy, a professional tug toy, or one of my professional, we have them on our site, but you play with a dog and then you start working on the drop. You just say drop, and then you can value transfer with food. You can just be patient, wait for them to let it go. There's a lot of ways to teach your dog how to drop something, but the drop is more of a whatever's in your mouth, you can't have it. So what I'll do is, let's say I have a dog that has resource guarding. They go out, they find a ball, they find a toy, they find the thing that I know is going to be problematic for everyone around them. I will say drop. The dog spits it out. Now they're just standing over it. Perfect. Now they're going to resource guard. And then I'll say, leave it, come. So I'm using these three things to really counter. And they're all basic skills. Every dog should know those skills. Come back to me, stop what you're doing, and drop it, right? So the problem is people, the dogs don't know it that well, and they don't know it super advanced. But once you have a really well-trained dog, that's how you would handle those situations. So
I started to do that. Sorry.
No, you're good.
I started to do that, and I've seen a difference because she was really exhausted after a long day of playing.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
A healthy life starts with great sleep. Wake refreshed with Avocado's GOTS certified organic green mattress, delivering breathable, back-loving support, natural materials from Avocado's own sustainable wool and latex farms, easy financing, a 1-year sleep trial, and deep, restorative slumbers. Organic sleep awaits at avocadomattress.com.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple $1,000s in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/andysgirls or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/andysgirls.
And I gave her a treat. She didn't want it, but I know if it was near her on the ground, I was afraid if we were watching her, Rachel's mom's dog. So I was like, okay, let me pick up this treat before she comes out. She got a little feisty. She didn't, like, growl or anything. She, like, got up quick and, like, was over it. And I just told her, place, stay, and I grabbed it, and she was fine. So I did notice that doing what you're saying, like, has made it easier to get things.
Yeah.
When, so.
Well, it just dismantles the problem.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You're taking away the weapons, right? She's sitting there. She's got the teeth. She's hovering over the thing. And you say, go over there. And now you've dismantled the problem, right? You've like de-weaponized it. So that's a great way to do it. The other thing is too, is like, let's say you're with other people, you're with your grandma, you're with anybody else. The other thing that you can start practicing is really enforcing the, whatever you're going to use, drop, leave it, whatever. because to me, you're in a really good place to start enforcing thing, which means hold the dog accountable, correct the dog. When you say, so let's say the dog grabs a bone and they're walking around and you say, hey, get that thing out of your mouth. And you're not doing it because you don't want her to have fun and play with the bone. Obviously, you're doing it because she's gonna wrap herself into trouble at any moment with somebody. And so you'll say, hey, drop or out or whatever you're going to say. And if she doesn't, that's where you can correct her with the remote collar as well. So that's going to be a nice touch to that.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean, I just, that was leading to one of my questions about the remote collar. So I watched a couple videos. It said, obviously, conditioning is between 4 and 8, if I remember.
Yeah, typically.
I have it on 6. And then I have the boost on 23 because that's the first that she's noticed it on 23. Like, is that too high? Like, I feel like 6, she doesn't even realize.
Yeah. Like, good question. So it depends on the context, just like it does with us. If you and I are talking right now, as we are, the volumes of our voices are completely appropriate. If we were at a Metallica concert, they wouldn't be. I couldn't hear you. We couldn't communicate. I'd have to really yell. And so it depends. So I would just say two things. If the dog is really into something, a 23 may be their base, right? Just as I was just explaining, the 23 is like, oh yeah, what's up? Because I'm playing and there's dogs and there's chickens and there's people and there's bones. Yeah. And the other thing is just make sure that your contact points are appropriate, making sure that they're sitting against the dog's skin. Because that's probably one of the biggest mistakes dog owners make with the remote collar is they don't size it properly. So I would just say
I try to put it on the side of her neck, like I know you said in the one video where the most muscle is.
Yep.
Now sometimes like eventually as she's wearing it, it slowly falls down and like it's not loose, it's still intact because if I make it one more tighter, it's like I'm afraid it's like too tight.
Okay.
But it doesn't move unless she's like rolling around or like that.
Yeah, if she's walking around and it's rolling around, it's too loose. But if yeah, you want to keep it because the contact points just have to be touching the dog's skin, right? It's like it's like reaching out and tapping somebody on the shoulder. You literally can't reach them unless you touch them. And so if those contact points aren't touching the dog's skin, it doesn't work. So when I hear things like 23 would definitely be a correction, and you know some dogs are. All dogs are different. All personalities are different. And that's why dog training is so diverse, right? Different tools, different techniques, different methods, different exercises, because there's so many different things. And the more I travel and work with different gene pools around the world, I'm, you know, continuing to really reinforce all the things that I'm also talking to you at here in the States. But yeah, the 23 would definitely be a good correction for her to barely, I mean, she should be reacting like,
she didn't react until when I first did it. Like I turned it all the way up to 31 and she didn't really react. Her ear just moved up.
Yeah.
On the side that it was on.
Yeah. On. Yeah. Yeah. And some dogs are like that. Some dogs are not reactive to it. So the other thing I would just say personally is I would clear, you know, really get a good contact and kind of restart and say, let's go one more. So let's say this, if you went one more notch and then you started to do collar, like collar number finding, right? Level finding, put her on a leash, hang out, don't do anything, just start to rise up to see what level she communicates at, right? It's just like when I'm trying to have a conversation, hey, oh yeah, and they turned around. Like that's exactly what we do almost every day of our lives. We're trying to communicate, and sometimes if somebody's driving away with a car and there's a coffee cup on the back, we have to scream and yell and throw things at the car, right? Hey, stop. So I would honestly try that first before you really get into those higher levels, just to make sure that
it's not, she's not feeling it.
Right.
Now, could it be higher than an 8 for a conditioning level for certain dogs?
It could.
I know you said like,
it could. It's just, it's not likely. Usual. It's not likely.
I didn't know if it had anything to do with like, because I know your two dogs, like the one has some hair, but like golden retrievers, I didn't know if that would be a thing. Like,
it is. It's a thing. Yeah, it's a thing. Okay. It's just, like I said, I would, it just, to me, what it sounds like is, it's not as snug as you need it. And you may be getting good contact, or I'm sorry, you may be getting contact, but it may not be good. It may be inconsistent. Good. So when you get it almost right, if the dog is moving a little bit, it may touch and then it may go away. It may touch, it may go away. So you really just want those contact points to be, that's why the that's why that bungee is nice, because it, once the dog moves and the muscles are moving, it flexes with that. But I would recommend personally just go that extra notch just to see if there's a difference. Because if she starts reacting and looking around at like an 8, you're like, oh crap, I didn't have good contact. So it's not, just try that. Anyway, that's my suggestion. So
perfect.
So your applications here, guys, and slash management is to take away the things that she's guarding, because if we can do that, we can immediately turn that valve right off. The other thing is, and sometimes does happen, is it moves to other things. So Rachel, like you were saying, well, what if it's to me? What if she's growling at me because I'm getting close to Brandon? Those are things, again, think about the environmental situations you're putting her in, the where you're at, where the grandma's at, where the, you know, whatever. And then just working on that, leave it. Like if she looks at somebody weird or she looks at somebody in a way that you find inappropriate, then that's where you can use your leave it. And that's where the remote collar really comes in handy, because it's the only thing in the world that can enforce a behavior. So you might say, if she was on a leash and she's looking at your girlfriend, aka Rachel, or your grandma, or anywhere, anybody else, and she's like looking at him weird, like she's gonna, you know, do her thing, growl, jump, put her, you know, her mouth around that person. That's where you're like, hey, quit the crap. And the remote collar just allows you to correct that behavior remotely and wirelessly. So I would say you're at a really good opportunity to do that. I don't typically recommend any dog owner without the assistance of a professional to do that, only because that's where you get a lot of redirection. When you're getting a dog that is snarling and growling and has a bite history, you got to be really careful how you're correcting any of that behavior under those circumstances, because the dog is basically saying, I'm ready to fight. If you want to fight, let's fight. If you come near me, I'm fighting you for this bone. It doesn't sound like you guys are really at that point. It just sounds like she's getting frustrated and she's getting away with stuff. And I feel like if you just corrected her a couple times and say, hey, quit the shit, enough is enough, don't growl at me, don't growl at grandma, don't growl at my girlfriend, you're not going to do that anymore, and correct her for it, there's a good chance she'll just, whoop, okay. Because it doesn't seem serious. It doesn't. It, to me, it seems bratty and opportunistic.
She seems like she's in her rebellious phase now anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think my next question with the collar, because I know I'm like a lot of your videos, because I've been watching a lot since we got her.
Yeah.
Like, what's the difference? I know like the nick is the conditioning, right? The boost is like a correction. When does the pager and the tone come into play? Because I've seen you use the pager with certain, like there was a video of a resource guarding dog and the owner was walking around the crate and you use the pager, but like when does those two come into play? Like, is the tone for like long distance recall? I wasn't sure because I haven't really used them. So I didn't know when do they come into play on the remote?
Yeah, good question. So again, every single e-collar is going to operate differently. So, you know, just like driving a car, it's going to be different. Your buttons are going to be different, but systematically it's going to be similar. Operationally, it's going to be similar. So for my e-collar, the Dogtra Tom Davis unit or any other e-collar that Dogtra makes that has a HPP is the pager for me is the vibration. And this is something that you either get or you don't. I've had people, and I'm laughing because they're standing right in front of me. And I say, okay, the pager is just a vibration. And the e-collar stimulation is your stimulation. They go up and down. The pager does not. Does it make sense? And they'll say, so the pager is, how many levels does the, and I'm like, no. So I've just gotten to this point in my career where I can just tell people just don't get it. So I'll go over it. But so the pager for me with my system is going to be what I call intervention. That is going to be a disruptor. That is going to be a correction that comes in when we want the dog to absolutely stop what they're doing and never do it again. So the pager is just that like really hard, intense vibration. So let's say Ellie, leave it. And she doesn't. And then you use the pager. So the only downfall to the pager is it's very binary. Dogs care about it a lot or they don't care about it at all. It typically leans more towards the dogs do care about it a lot. And when they do, it's a great disruptor. Like I have worked and helped so many people out with these behavioral problems, especially dog owners who actually can't physically even handle their dog because the dog is either too powerful or their timing is off or whatever. And the pager is a blessing in disguise because people can just push a button. So instead of correcting the dog with the leash, instead of even saying a correction out of your mouth, leave it off, no, we just hit the pager button. It buzzes like your cell phone and the dog stops what they're doing. So
would that be something that like, if they're not listening, because like sometimes she's so one mindset and she's not listening to anything else. Is that, would it be an instance where you're like, okay, I need to use, or
is that like the boost?
Yeah. Both. The pager I save for kind of emergency situations, for most dogs. Because they really don't like it, and so I would lean more. It depends on what you're doing, and it depends. And here's the other thing: it depends on what the future of the remote collar is for the dog, and what their understanding of the remote collar is for the dog. And that's where people get lost in the sauce quite often with remote collar training. Is they don't A, they've never used it. B, they don't know what it is. So of course they just critique it, but the reality is e-collar training is the most modern dog training that we have. We're training a dog with a computer, right? So we're teaching them to respond in condition to technology, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. It's not the old put it on, the dog doesn't listen, we crank them. This is very different. It's revolutionary in the way that we condition dogs and handle dogs and communicate with dogs. And so once the dog is fully conditioned, and again, that's why I'm it's a good question, but it's very, the context has to be there. Once the dog is fully conditioned on the remote collar, you can use the e-collar stimulation as a boost. Okay. So for an example, I was in Denver last weekend doing a seminar, and it was the spiciest group of dogs I've had in a seminar in my life. Like, no exaggeration. Every dog but two were pretty gnarly with a bite history. And so a couple of the dogs were not the I'm reactive and fearful and scared and insecure and don't know what to do. They were, I'm going to kill you and I'm serious and I will. And I've tried it and I'll do it again if you let me. And so the conversation is really, do you want to put your dog down or do you want to work through this? Oh, I want to work through it. Of course you do. So do I. So we use the stimulation correction a couple times. It's the most, and I was telling my videographer, which is my wing woman in the whole game, I was like, wow, this is crazy. We've never had to go through this before this many times because the dogs were just, they were serious, like super serious. Mm-hmm. And the owners couldn't grasp. They couldn't correct. They couldn't physically hold the dog back. The option is like rehome the dog or euthanize, or we stop it. So we use the e-collar correction and the stimulation. and the dogs don't like it. It's uncomfortable. It's aversive. And that's the point, right? Like, we don't want the dog to like what is going on. We want them to, we want them to stop doing it, right? It's how that goes, right? We want that to be aversive to them. So the e-collar conditioning has to be done, or it should, I should say, it should be done before you use the e-collar stimulation as a correction. That way the dog fundamentally understands where it's coming from and how to shut it off. So if we teach the dog the e-collar conditioning, they go, yeah, I know what this is. I felt it before. And then all of a sudden they make a really bad decision. And then that thing that they know what it is gets really intense. They're not looking around going, what the hell was that? Although in a life or death situation, it's still, in my opinion, completely appropriate to do that. If my dog was running and I just started e-collar training and they snapped my long line for whatever reason and now they're going after oncoming traffic, I will not hesitate to go all the way up on my e-collar to stop them from dying, right?
Yeah.
So to answer all your questions, the stimulation on the side in my e-collar is going to be the NIC, the continuous NIC, the continuous and the boost. And they're all pretty similar except for the boost. Mm-hmm. If you tap once, it's a NIC. If you hold, it's a continuous. Okay. If you use the boost, you're taking the base level or the conditioning level that the dog responds to that is non-aversive or punitive. The dog feels it, but it doesn't hurt them. It doesn't cause any aversion. The boost is, we're going to set the boost to plus 15, which means if my dog is conditioning on a 5 and we hit a boost, it's going to go up to a 20. So 15 plus 5 equals 20. You could take that boost and preset it to a lot of things. And I work with a lot of different dogs from all over the world. Government dogs, police dogs, service dogs, working dogs, etc. So somebody might say, if my dog doesn't listen, it's life or death, so the boost is 50. Some people might say, if my dog doesn't listen, it's okay, so the boost is plus 10. Not a huge deal, not life or death, right? And that's where A, you decide. B, your dog will decide, because some dogs, again, that I work with, I've seen dogs get shot in the side and stabbed, and they're still working through things. They're still work. They don't give a shit. They don't care, right? Dogs are animals. They're savages. They don't care, right? They are. Oh, they're right back. Like, they don't care, right? They're getting kicked and punched. If people understood what dogs really are, we wouldn't have all the propaganda that goes on in the world. But unfortunately, some people just are fake dog lovers, is what I like to call them. But anyway, so my point is your dog's conditioning level may be completely different from somebody else's, and their corrective level is also the same. Same thing with people, right? Like what they're conditioned to, what they can tolerate, what their base is. And so that's kind of like the whole e-collar thing, right? The pager is nice as a quick little like correction. I call it intervention. The e-collar has basically two different communication levels with a spectrum, right? So conditioning levels are going to range from 2 to 10. Corrective levels are going to range from 10 to 127. And it just depends on the severity. It depends on the dog's tolerance. And it depends on the dog's location. And again, like if a police dog is chasing a perk and they're fired up and their adrenaline is firing off and the sirens are going and the guy's running and they're shooting and everything's going on, you're not going to correct the dog. They're not going to feel it. They got too much going on. They're not going to feel it. That's the last thing that they're going to feel. They may feel it and they may go, I'm fighting through this. See, I've seen it. There's videos of it. It happens all the time. But the overall arc here is just catching your dog before they get to the point of where they're blowing you off or where they're in a dangerous situation. But I think at the end of the day, it's the only thing that's going to help you off leash.
Okay. And would the boost be, could you use the boost if I understood the videos right? Like, if they're not, the conditioning like really isn't, they're ignoring it. So the boost could be like a correction.
Yeah, would quickly.
That be like,
yeah, okay. Quick correction. Yeah, it's a quick correction. It's a quick correction.
Okay.
And I use it pretty quickly. Like I'll go really quick when I'm on the side. I'll just say, come. And if the dog's like, there's rabbit poop over here, dude, I'll immediately boop. Quick correction. Okay. And what it looks like for the dog is they flip you off and then they go, okay, I'm coming. Zoom, right back. That's it. It's quite literally that simple. There is no in between there. If the dog is e-collar conditioned and you're asking the dog to come and they go, oh, I know what you want and I feel you, but I'm not doing it. Copy. And then boom, you hit him with the correction. They're like, oh, okay, I'm coming back. It's the same thing, you know, let's say kids. My son says, you know, they're running out in the beach. We say, hey, come back. This is just a fake story, but I say, hey, if you don't come back, you don't get to go swimming. He's like, I don't care. I'm going swimming now. Okay, if you don't come back, no more prime. He's running back. He's like, don't take my prime. It's his favorite drink. So my point is, you know, all the consequences are going to differ from dogs too, right? Like some dogs are like, yeah, I don't care about this, dude. I'm eating rabbit poop. What is this five? I'll take this five while eating this platter of yucky stuff, you know? So again, the reason why I dive into that is because it is very important to know that all the different levels are going to be different. Mm-hmm. For each dog and for each situation, but I would do e-collar conditioning, and then that way, say, Ellie, leave it, nope, correction. Ellie, place, nope, correction. And some dogs are going to fight through that, and that's just like the nature of the beast. I mean, you can teach a dog how to do something all you want, and they're really good at it when they want to do it. But then when you add in realities of, yeah, but I haven't seen Dad all day, and I'm not leaving this couch. And you're like, go to your bed. Yeah. Nope. Okay. So now what? So yeah, you've done all your training. Your training's great. The dog knows it. They're just flipping you off and saying, I'm not doing this. Yeah. And then that's where the correction comes in, right? Where you're just, oh, and they go, okay, fine, I'm going. Okay. If you insist. So anyway. Yeah.
And then I know the tone, would that just be like we long distance recall? Yeah. They can't hear you. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of times like I use it for Burley right now for recall. Like if he's off, I'll usually tone and then he'll come rip into me. The other thing that you could use
instead
it
of for, screaming.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Especially with like if the dog is really off leash, you can just use tone instead of screaming, come, okay. Right? So you can condition the dog. Tone means come, okay. Right? Every time you hit tone, you could say tone, come, tone. So the dog knows come. The dog knows the recall command. Recall, tone, recall, tone, recall, tone, tone. Yes. Now the dog knows. You've bridged those together. The tone means come. So instead of yelling and telling the dog's name, they're already wearing the walkie-talkie. So all you do is you just kind of page him and you go, not page him, but you just call him, tone, beep, beep, beep. The dog comes running back. Good. Good job. Yep.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
Just a random question. So her mom's golden retriever lived with us for 7 months because she had ACL. Her mom was in Canada for family stuff. The doc had double ACL. We have one poor house, so we kind of took care of her. Do you think her leaving after 7 months would cause a dog to act out? Like, is that like, because she kind of was, could that happen? Like, she was fine, and then she wasn't here, and then she kind of started, you know, acting out a little bit more, like that's when that stuff started happening. And then this past weekend, she was fine when she was here.
Yeah, absolutely. It could happen. Okay. It's kind of, you know, who's to say, you know? Yeah. I mean, it could, I mean, you're always, when you're dog training, you're always looking for, triggers. You're looking for, you know, reasons, and you know, the more reasons that make sense, the better. But It's tough to say. It could be. Okay. Yeah, it could be. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'll give you an example. Like Lakota, my older dog, she was the youngest dog at one point, and then my two older dogs passed away over the years, and she started doing things she's never done. She started getting afraid of fireworks and thunder. She never cared about that, ever. As soon as the older two dogs passed away, she all of a sudden cared. It was really weird. So, yeah, there's definitely some pack dynamic that can cause certain things. It's just, it's really hard to pinpoint exactly if that's it. And then here's the other thing. And then once you do, okay, now what? you move back in, mom, yeah, or something? Like, you know, what? Now what? Yeah. You know what I mean? Do we get another dog? Now what? So that's the other thing, too, yeah, is sometimes people are so anxious and eager to get to the root cause, which is important, which is a huge drive for me with dogs. But sometimes when you get there, you're like, okay, now that I know why, now that doesn't change anything, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with my dog. Like, the other two dogs passed away, and then she got terrified of thunder. Okay, nothing doesn't change anything. You know, it's like there's nothing else. Okay, you know, that was weird, but
okay. That was just like one of the things we were curious about, if, because when all this happened, we were like trying to figure out what was going on.
Could be maturity too. Certain dogs at certain ages can start seeing these things, and that's why I would recommend for you guys, you really nip it in the bud now before it gets any worse, before it does turn into more aggression, right? Because she's already kind of flirting with that a little bit, where she's doing everything but biting. She's doing everything but biting. She is 95% full on a dangerous dog, you know, and so you really want to shut it down, like, absolutely not, right? And that's what I'm very, you know, dedicated to and very serious about. Like, once a dog is really pushing that envelope, it's like, you really, you know, for the most part, you need to shut it down, to be like, don't ever think that that's appropriate. Don't ever do that again. This is not your place to do that, right? And anyway. Okay. All right. Any other questions?
No, I think you answered all of them. Okay. So.
All right, guys. Brandon, Rachel, it's been good to talk to you. Thank you so much for signing up, and the best of luck to you.
Spring into big savings on all Larson storm doors now at Menards. Larson doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. Whether you're looking for additional security or a screen door, we have what you need. They come in over 40 styles and 9 colors to choose from. Check out all Larson storm door options in store and find more great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big.